Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
I am honored to have on the show for the first time Mayor Nancy Rossi in West Haven. Good morning, Mayor. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, Melissa, and thank you for the invite. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we do have some questions, obviously, ahead of the general election a week from today, and we'll get to those in just a second. I want to talk about the latest from really the scandal in West Haven. I feel like it couldn't have broke at a worse time, because I know immediately everybody was looking to you saying, what happened? Who dropped the ball? Mm-hmm. Of course, Mr. DeMassa, as we've been talking about in our news consistently, is facing many of those allegations of taking more than $600,000. I'm curious, the initial reports were saying that more than $1 million in COVID relief funds were taken, Mayor Rossi, but now we're looking at this $600,000 figure. Was the initial number inaccurate, or are we still missing some $500,000 in there?
Well, we're still involved in many investigations, two of which are two ongoing audits. One is our annual audit, and then the second one is the one that Secretary McCaw from Office of Policy and Management ordered. So that one is basically just looking at the COVID funds. So we're going to have a better picture of exactly, you know, how much was taken once we have these audits conclude and we get the final results.
Okay.
So I can't give you a definitive answer because I don't know. Right now, they have put the number of a little over $600,000. And once they're done with everything, we will have the exact number.
Okay. I mean, I have to ask this question, Mayor Rossi, because I wouldn't be doing my job for my listeners. Mm-hmm. But did you have any idea, any inkling that this money was being misused?
No, not until I saw in the financials in the end of September that the finance director put like an aggregate total to track the COVID funding. So it would be in the council reports and the reports that go to the review board, the MARB review board. And it was just one like total number, but it exceeded the amount we received by a lot. In other words, we received approximately almost $1.2 million in CARES Act funding. And this was well over that. So that's when I got a list of them and I started looking at them, and I found irregularities with that Compass Investment Group, because I can say it now because it's been all over the news. And my first question in my head was, what would an investment group have to do with COVID funding? And I dug deeper. I found the members of the LLC, and that's when I contacted the our annual auditing firm to have them double check and verify to make sure I was correct. They did let me know that I was correct, and then we went on to other agencies to continue trying to unwind this whole scheme and find out exactly what happened and then put controls in place that it won't happen again.
So we're talking to Mayor Nancy Rossi this morning in West Haven, of course, talking about the missing COVID relief fund. So I saw this morning, Mayor Rossi, you made an announcement recently that now there are some like new fiscal controls. People basically, when they want to either use, it looks like about, is it $5,000 more than that? They need to be, it needs to be cleared by you, essentially, it sounds like. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So what we did in the interim, because as I said, we have many ongoing, we have an investigation and we have two audits ongoing. So in the interim, I wanted to make sure that we put something more in place. So I did a lot of different controls, but the one I wanted to make sure everyone knew is anything over $5,000 will come through my office, which normally, again, a mayor normally doesn't take care of that. But in this particular instance, I just want an independent office, and either myself or my executive assistant will look at these expenditures to make sure they make sense and who they are and who the department head was signing them and that type of thing to make sure everything is good going forward. And then once we receive the audit, I'm sure we will put in even many, many, many more controls.
I was going to say, I would think going forward, Mayor Rossi, you know, when you look at something like $1.2 million and potentially losing a huge chunk of it because somebody else who was in charge just was irresponsible. Now, again, of course, these are innocent until until proven guilty, of course. I don't want to say
right.
that it's for sure. But essentially, you know, immediately when this happened, Mayor Rossi, people were looking at you, which people naturally will do that. They're going to look at the mayor and they're going to say, how did you drop the ball? Now, of course, it's kind of come out in the wash that that's not really what the case is. But I'm thinking whether it's you or if it's somebody else who's running the city of West Haven, I would think that these fiscal controls would stay in place going forward.
I wouldn't think that as well. And yes, I am the leader of the city. So, I mean, of course, anything that goes on, not just this, but something else happens, it is, you know, I'm in charge of the whole city, but obviously I don't go to every office and do day-to-day activities. That being said, I am not taking any responsibility for criminals that, you know, acted this way and went forward. So I have no control over their criminal behavior. But as soon as we found out about it, we did something about it.
Were you taken aback when you heard about Michael DeMassa?
Yes, he has served. He started as an intern years ago in the office, and then he ended up working under Mayor John Picard, Mayor Ed O'Brien, and now myself. His last position that he just resigned was the administrative assistant to the city council. So people were very familiar with him, and he was in City Hall, and he also was a state rep. So he had double duties there, if you will. So yes, I want to say most people were surprised. But that being said, it still sickens my stomach to think that, and I'll use the word allegedly because I keep forgetting that, and I apologize if I do, but he allegedly did this to West Haven. It's, you know, this is where he lives as well. You know, the people here didn't deserve this, and it's a real breach in our trust, and we're going to have to get that back over time, but it's going to take time.
Yeah, so let's talk about that part, Mayor Rossi, because, of course, I've gotten a lot of phone calls from our listeners. Who's footing the bill? Who's going to pay for this?
Once again, we haven't gotten that far. We're getting through the investigation. I'm hoping that that does get wrapped up shortly. And then I will look into it. Who will, you know, end up paying for that? Because I agree, this money, and not only paying for it, but this money, the intended use was to take care of people that had COVID issues, people who didn't get their unemployment checks. Because remember, in the beginning, there was a delay, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't have food on their table, that we as a city did our best to make sure that these folks ate. We partnered with Vertical Church, and we did a lot of good. And, you know, it's sad to hear after we did all this good to help people and assist through one of the worst things. Let's face it, hopefully it won't be another 100 years before we get another pandemic. It was a very difficult time to begin with. And this definitely even made it more difficult when this news came out.
And I just wanted to reiterate, Mayor Rossi, so you're going to do everything in your power to basically not allow this money to fall on the taxpayers, for the taxpayers to cover this mishap, correct, it sounds like?
Well, we're going to find out what our avenues are. But again, that will be after the investigation, because right now, as I said earlier, we think it's only over 600,000, but suppose it's more. And so, again, we don't know. And until the figures come in and we have an exact amount, then we'll be able to take a look at it and look at any venues and ways that maybe what we can, you know, get some help with this, because that's, you know, right now, $600,000 is a large mm-hmm. amount of money, where we've been so fiscally responsible, say, you know, cutting corners, save some money here, save some money there. This is a real blow to us. I will say that. And at least we do, you know, we're in a much better financial condition than we were 4 years ago, but it's still a big hit to take.
Yeah, I mean, it's so unfortunate when these kinds of things happen. And I say that, you know, not lightly. I certainly am not trying to, you know, pass it off. But this reminds me a lot of what Fairfield's going through still with the fill pile and everything. Like, we've had Brenda Kupchick on mm-hmm. to talk about that. And unfortunately, the taxpayers have had to foot the bill for that. It's horrible. I mean, it's just an awful situation. So, you know, that's racking up in the millions and millions of dollars. So that's in a way worse situation to compare. But still, I mean, no taxpayer in West Haven is going to want to cover mm-hmm. this. They're going to be upset about it for obvious reasons.
No, I agree with you. I'm a taxpayer as well, and I don't want to cover it. So I understand and feel their pain because, again, I've lived here since 1981. So I've raised my family here. This is my home. And it is terrible, and it's absolutely terrible that this happened.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Rossi, a couple of questions. Obviously, you are going for another term in office, and good luck to you. I'm curious, what are some of the things you want to bring to your next term that maybe you didn't feel you got to accomplish in your last?
Well, we want to keep moving in the right direction. So financially, we are. We will have, once the audit is done, we will have 4 balanced budgets. But right now, we have 3 audited balanced budgets. And people will correct me. And so full disclosure, yes, there's MARB funding in those balanced budgets. However, every single year, except for the first year when I first got in, we have not taken the full amount. And in this year's budget for FY22, we have not taken any money from the MARB. We are standing alone this year, and we have a balanced budget as of right now. So that is one thing. I want to keep that and grow our general fund, which is like our rainy day fund, savings account type of thing. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we started working on paving the roads and fixing sidewalks. We've made great progress with that. But again, the roads were in very disrepair. So everyone wanted their road paved because most of the roads are in disrepair. So we had to decide which ones were the absolute worst, fix those. And then if reelected, we will continue on that program to get these roads paved because, you know, again, it's our infrastructure and it looks terrible when there are potholes and cracks in the roads. And the same thing with sidewalks. And we do sidewalks. If there's a city tree that has broken up your sidewalk, we will come out and we will repair it. And if it lifted it, we can grind it down and put cement in it. And so we're continuing to do that. We have also refurbished many of our parks and playgrounds. We have more than one basketball courts, one being at, we call it the Nike site because that's right by me. So that's what they always called it, but it's Veterans Memorial Park. And we also opened a dog park over there. So we have a lot of positive things going on. The conference center, we just sent out a request for a proposal again. It has closed and we have gotten some good results. So we're looking to put something there. A lot of people were interested in a brewery that people had asked me about. And what we're going to do is to have a steady revenue stream rather than just going, you know, to the taxpayers. We're looking to do a long-term lease. We don't want to sell that beautiful piece of property, that beautiful stretch on the beach. But we do want to at least monetize it, that we end up getting some money for it. So we have great interest, and we have some other development that hasn't been finalized yet that's coming. So we've been working very hard. It was difficult during the pandemic because, again, not everybody was interested in, you know, coming out of their house, let alone doing development or engaging. But now we definitely have developers calling every day. We have the new 7-Eleven going up. Right but where Staples building would have been on Sawmill Road over there. So it really, it is coming together, and it's nice I want to continue that work and make it even better. And as I said, make it more stable so that we can have, you know, some kind of peace as far as finances go.
So Mayor Rossi, really quick, when your challenger, Barry Lee Cohen, says that we have a lot of development concerns, we don't have what he calls a fast tracking for development plans. He says West Haven is the missed opportunity city. You don't agree. It sounds like you have a lot of projects in the works.
I don't agree. And Barry Lee Cohen is also a council member, and he sat on the council now for almost 2 years. He says he has developers and they're waiting to come, but yet we've never seen this. We've never seen a plan. Additionally, I did hear his podcast, and one thing that he did say is that he was on the P&Z commission as an alternate commissioner, and that part is accurate. What he didn't say was as that commissioner, because he acted in the role of the commissioner that night. What happened was he got into some kind of disagreement with one of the other members, and he got up in the middle of the meeting and quit and walked out. And when the chairwoman asked him, please, can you sit back down? We have developers here. We won't have a quorum. He didn't care, and he continued walking. That is poor behavior on any level. But what would happen if he was the mayor? When would he have walked out here? When the pandemic hit? When we had the IT breach? When I found out all the records were destroyed in City Hall when we first got in Public Works? Or with this, with the breach? So you don't, this is a job you have to be committed to. You have to take the bad with the good with the bad. And you have to get up every day eager and ready to move West Haven forward. And that's what I intend to do.
Mayor Nancy Rossi, again, I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you for taking the extra time and good luck next week with the general election.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. You have a great day.
Thank you, Mayor Rossi. You too. Stamford Mayor David Martin. Good morning, Mayor Martin. Thanks for being here.
Good morning, Melissa. How's the rain?
Probably the same as you. It's wet and it's coming down. But I'm glad we haven't lost power yet. Honestly, I'm very glad. Not yet.
Yes, and we're not getting serious reports now in Stamford, but you know, with the wind that's coming, knocking down some branches, mm-hmm. Yes, there could be probably power outages. We'll have to see.
Yes, no question. Now, Mayor Martin, are you ready? I have a list of questions from listeners. I think because everyone wants to make sure that everything, every T is crossed, every I is dotted before the general election. I have a list of questions. So are you ready? We're going to
I'm ready, but I just want multiple choice answers, if that's all right.
Okay, I'll see if I can give you multiple choice answers. Yeah, we'll do rapid fire with multiple choice. Let's see. I got to come up with multiple choice answers now. Let's see. So the first question I have is in regards to the High Ridge Road land near the Mayor Parkway at exit 35. I know you and I have talked about this a couple times with some of the woods being cut down and sort of the acreage being left there. Some people have described it as ugly. What is to become of that property and when can people expect a change?
The part of this I can't answer because I don't know, but I will tell you that those trees being cut down are for a bridge work that's just north of the Merritt Parkway on High Ridge Road. There's a bridge there that is going to be replaced, and I thought they would have had equipment in there by now to start that work, but they don't. They cut that down in preparation, and basically that's going to remain clear until that bridge work is completed, and I don't expect that bridge work to be completed until sometime in the spring or summer. The problem is that they can only work on half the bridge at a time. And because of that, it's going to take them a long time. It's not like they close the road and detour everything. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to be very slow. And there will be traffic allowed in both directions, but that just means it takes a long time to do it, and it will be a bit of a traffic snarl as they replace that bridge.
Okay. Now, High Ridge Road paving, the people who live in that area are very happy to see the repaving. The yellow and white lines are down. They're very happy about it. But they're curious about, I guess, the paving south of the Merritt Parkway project. Is that finished now, or is there more that needs to be done in that area?
I believe, and again, you're catching me here in mid-process. I believe the paving part is essentially done. Now it's the what they call the striping, they're putting down the lines. And basically from High Ridge all the way south to Bull's Head and then on Cold Spring and on Washington Boulevard, I believe all that paving is essentially completed. Now there may be little sections that still have to be completed, and it's a bit confusing because because it's a state road and because it has so much travel on it, they put two layers of asphalt. So people might be confused. Oh, here we come along, and we put one layer of asphalt, and it seems like we still have a lot of bumpiness in the road. And then they put another layer of asphalt. But at this point, I believe we're getting very near the end of that project. And the lane design that we laid out with them, actually, we laid this out with them 3 years ago. We've been trying to get the state to do this for some time, and it keeps getting postponed. But we got it this year. Should allow for bicycle lanes, at least in sections on either side. And what happens is we're actually making the road a little bit narrower. And believe it or not, it actually causes people to subconsciously slow down, and the road actually gets safer. If you're driving in a very wide lane, people tend not to pay as much attention, and they begin to drift off to the side a little bit. When the roads are a little bit narrower, people just subconsciously slow down, and they pay a little bit more attention. Ultimately, it turns out it's a little safer. It's still safe. We didn't, you know, we're not putting in four-foot lanes or anything.
Right, right.
But that's the hope.
Okay. And we're talking to Mayor David Martin in Stamford this morning, taking your questions. So speaking about repaving, there were questions if any other roads were possibly going to be having that happen. And one of the examples I got was Weed Hill Avenue. There were questions if more paving is in the works.
So if you actually go to our website, and I think one of the candidates, you know, we have an election coming up next Tuesday. One of the candidates actually said, hey, we should have on our website what roads are going to be done. Well, we've had that. You can go to our website, and I can't tell you off the top of my head where it is, but basically you can go and you could see a map of all the roads that we've paved in the last 5 or 6 years, and you can see the plan for roads through basically the remainder of this fiscal year, which is all the way up through July 1st. And I can't remember whether Weed Hill is on that map or not. I do know that Weed Hill is a road that we want to do. But basically, we've got a lot of roads that are already scheduled to do as, depending upon weather. Have you heard about weather?
depending upon weather.
Oh, and incidentally, people keep talking about supply chain shortages, and most people are thinking about, well, is there going to be a shortage in toilet paper again, or can I get my brand of tuna fish or other things that you might buy at the store?
Yeah.
It also happens in sort of heavy stuff, and one of the things that we do when we pave roads is we normally go through and check all the drainage. So maybe a drainage here has collapsed, or maybe it's got stuff in it or whatnot. So we do all of that, and we replace pipe as part of the work that we do for paving roads. And unfortunately, there are supply chain problems in some of the stuff that we use, which is slowing down some of our paving this year. But nonetheless, you go to the website, look it up. You can see which roads are going to be done. The one that I keep thinking about more than others, right or wrong, is West Hill Road. We are doing some work so that it doesn't freeze over the road in the winter.
Oh, okay.
And we think we're going to get that 90% fixed, and that work is underway now. And the other thing I think about is in Storm Ida, we had Farms Road basically destroyed. It was where Aquarian was putting in a pipeline between the Stamford Reservoir and the Greenwich Reservoir. And right at that point, the road was weak, and the road is completely gone. Well, they're going to replace the road, and we have a high degree of confidence that we'll get done before the asphalt plants close in mid-December. Unfortunately, it's subject to weather, and that road is in a vulnerable state right now, and traffic can't pass on it. Mm-hmm. But this storm today, for instance, may set us back, and I don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see.
Well, Mayor Martin, as you mentioned in the beginning of this, there is a general election next week. And I just want to personally tell you, I appreciate during all of COVID that you were a proud partner of WICC. You came on the show every 2 weeks on the dot, gave us the information we needed. And actually, I have one of my listeners, Elizabeth, who sent this really sweet email. And I just wanted to read it to you. She said, on behalf of all your supporters, thank you for going above and beyond for the city of Stamford, especially during Stamford's Walk for Unity in our community, and for your tireless efforts in the last 2 years helping us triumph over COVID. She said, we appreciate you, we love you, and we wish you every success in your future endeavors, and we hope you will continue to be a leader in our community. That was from Elizabeth, and I just wanted to read that to you this morning and thank you.
Well, Elizabeth, you know, I can't say it by itself makes everything worthwhile, but I got to tell you, you know, occasionally you get that heartfelt, unsolicited thing, and it makes me feel really good. And I'll tell you this, we have tonight at 6 o'clock, I have a live stream update on our COVID numbers in Stamford and what they mean. And one of the big questions, and I haven't made a decision yet, but basically, will we lift the mask mandate in Stamford? We've been coming down gently. I would like to come down rapidly, but we've been coming down gently in our cases over the past month to 2 months since we put in the mandatory vaccine requirement for employees and the mask mandate for everyone which I think all the major cities in Connecticut have done. But we're now, I haven't seen the numbers for this weekend yet, which normally become available late Monday night. And mm-hmm. I was on calls with the Board of Finance and the Board of Representatives to get some things approved. So I didn't see those numbers. But we're going to make that decision this morning, and we will announce them tonight at 6 o'clock if we're taking the mask mandate. I encourage everyone to be safe during Halloween. Go out and have fun. But remember, kids, be careful that you don't have masks on, not masks for coronavirus, masks that cover the eyes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just be
double
masked.
Be careful out there.
Well, Mayor Martin, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing your announcement later today, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much again.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and we'll see what happens here in a week in the new election.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mayor Martin.
Family, relationships, and personal growth. Professional counselor Julius Dudix is here to help.
Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600.
So, Julius, it sounds like you have a lot of clients who have been bringing up loneliness a lot lately. And you and I have talked about this, especially during the pandemic. But what's sort of different this time around? Why does it seem to be a continuous trend, at least in your clients? And I'm sure many of our listeners.
Yeah, I feel like, by the way, thanks for having me on, Melissa. And yeah, I feel like loneliness is something that creeps up, especially around the holidays. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get into Halloween and Thanksgiving and Christmas, I feel like people sometimes really begin to evaluate, you know, relationships and friendships. And loneliness specifically, it's a complicated emotion, difficult to express sometimes. Sometimes we can feel lonely for no apparent reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the holidays always bring about a feeling of melancholy sometimes. And it just kind of results in me feeling a lack of energy, foggy perhaps. Sometimes it affects your sleep, insomnia. Sometimes it affects your appetite. It could even affect self-doubt, hopelessness, body aches, and all those kinds of things. There are a lot of symptoms that kind of you can look over and say, hey, you know, I'm really suffering from this thing called loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Some researchers even say it can be worse than smoking cigarettes. One study I read. But the bottom line is we all wrestle with it. It's very normal to feel lonely. But when it begins to affect your quality of life, that's kind of where we begin to raise an eyebrow and say, hey, what's going on? And do you really know yourself?
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting, that's a great question. That last question is really great. What's interesting is coming out of COVID, a lot of people think loneliness because of isolation. And sure, that's true. But what's interesting is I feel like COVID really put a lot of relationships to the test. And what I mean by that is people who are friends for decades are no longer friends this morning. And it's not always because they don't agree on things, but because, you know, we had to do life separated for a year or two, and it was sort of hard to recover. Or people do feel strongly about things having to do with COVID or the way that the country is being run or whatever the case may be. It just feels like friendships and relationships are also in a very, very insecure place overall. And I think that can cause loneliness because you wrestle with yourself, like, does somebody even know who I really am? You start to question, do mm-hmm. the people I love really know who I am?
Yeah, and do they understand why I feel the way I feel regarding
right.
masking, regarding my vaccination or not vaccination, and I didn't get vaccinated. But you're right. I mean, this COVID thing has really done a lot to separate. And the whole key is we have to take a step back and really get to know ourselves if we're really going to deal with loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, you've got to really understand who you are and what is your purpose, and take some time to just kind of do some self-reflection.
Yeah.
Realize who you really are, not what you want to be, and speak truth to yourself.
Yeah.
And find out what you're good at and find out what you're passionate about,
mm-hmm.
and really begin to assess your relationships. And it's all on you. What am I doing that's causing me to remain lonely, or what am I not doing, kind of thing?
That's interesting that you say it that way, Julius Dudix, because most people will go, well, what did they do that made me lonely. You know, like we naturally as humans will always point and say, well, what did this person do to create my loneliness? And it's not to say that you create your own problems. That's not what I'm saying. But I think we naturally are always playing the blame game. So we don't really get out of that feeling sometimes of loneliness or feeling pity on ourselves. And a lot of times, too, Julius, I'll see people dive into the wrong realms to get out of loneliness, like just sitting on Facebook for 3 hours. That's not healthy.
Absolutely, yeah. Or sitting on your – we talked about the phone 2 weeks ago, and boy, I'll tell you, what a topic that was.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get lost in your phone and deal with the loneliness that way. But really, in any relationship, it boils back down to two simple questions. What do you need from the other individual? What do they need from you? And second question is, what in me has to change to build a relationship? And we always, always in counseling come back to those two questions. And that really requires you to know yourself, but be careful that you're not dealing with something like loneliness in negative ways, i.e. social media, five glasses of wine as opposed to one glass of wine, those kinds of things. You have to really be honest with yourself and speak truth to yourself. And ask yourself hard questions. You know, what am I good at? What am I not good at? What are my passions? Why am I here? What's life all about? And ultimately, I always point people back to faith in God, because there's a God who says in Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He's there for us. And you can get a healthy spiritual perspective that helps you to get to know yourself and your Creator's plan and purpose for you, because everybody is created with a purpose.
And just finding the healthy way to really overcome if you are going through personal loneliness or you feel like your relationships are crumbling around you, how do you gain back feeling that security again? And Julius, is there a way people can reach out to you? Because everyone has different walks of life. Everyone's gone through different trials and tribulations. And if they have a specific question for you on this topic, how do they reach you?
Yeah, they can call me at 203-243-7714, make an appointment. But not just me, Melissa, but anybody, a good friend, another counselor perhaps. But it's all about these programs are not so much it's for the individual to take a look at themselves and say, hey, I've got too much time on my cell phone. Is what they're talking about going to affect my behavior with my cell phone this week? Because quite honestly, Melissa, it affected my behavior that week.
Me too.
I had my family over, and I put my cell phone away while we had dinner.
Yep.
But the bottom line is, are these programs really helping people move forward in terms of being introspectively honest about, you know, how they can improve themselves as individuals?
Yeah, that's so, very, very true.
Anyway, yeah, you could do Facebook, do LinkedIn, read about me. But if you want to really reach out, just make that phone call to 203-243-7714. And we can make an appointment.
Julius Studix, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for taking the time this morning.
Thanks for all you do, Melissa. Keep at it.
Thank you.